Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to cover a subject that I think really epitomizes the, sort of a conflict between conventional medicine and complementary medicine. We often use the term integrative medicine. We in the field of natural medicine would acknowledge that there are many conventional medicine procedures that we really need to incorporate. On the other hand, sometimes innovative therapies get pushed to the wayside, and that is the case with today's subject. We're going to talk about chelation therapy with one of the country's leading experts on chelation therapy. He is a cardiologist. His name is Dr. Roy Heilbronn, and he, with his wife, Dr. Angelique Hart, operate a comprehensive care center incorporating chelation therapy and other modalities to treat not just patients with cardiovascular problems, but all manner of health problems, based in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's called Santa Fe Soul, and he's written a recent book entitled Healing Heart Disease with Chelation Therapy. So without further ado, by the way, in the background, Roy, you'll hear some of the characteristic sounds of New York City, which are like a, which are sirens. You know, don't worry, there's, 9/11 isn't happening all over again. This is just routine, for where, I record, which is in my studio in Midtown Manhattan. Unfortunately, I don't have padded walls and a soundproof, room.
No problem.
But you, of course, are in the heart of the sedate, Santa Fe, New Mexico, a very quiet, soulful, inspirational place, and it's a great place to practice innovative cardiology. So welcome to Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so well, tell us a little bit about the TACT trial, because you were very much involved in this study, and I actually have written an article on the subject of the TACT trial in a medical journal called Clinical Advisor. I think you saw it as well, Roy.
Yeah.
Which describes it for our listeners. It's at drhoffman.com. We're actually talking to a cardiologist who participated in this study, Dr. Heilbronn. So what did it entail?
Yeah. So originally, so I trained at Mount Sinai in Miami Beach, and my program director was Dr. Lamas. And originally we worked on actually what was the original research for the South Beach diet. And several years later, I graduated conventional cardiology, totally, normal, non-alternative, for about 7 years. And one of the, my wife's uncle had actually practiced chelation for 30 years in Holland. And since like 1990, he would talk to me about, oh yeah, chelation this and chelation that. And I was always like, oh, uncle, where's the proof? And, cause that was sort of what we were taught to say. And in about 1999, ACAM actually had a meeting in Fort Lauderdale, and my wife's uncle was gonna come down from Holland to go to the ACAM meeting in Fort Lauderdale. And so, my wife was going to go, so they say, oh, why don't you come along just for fun? And I thought, well, 3 days in Fort Lauderdale isn't too bad, so I decided to go. And the first meeting the first lecture I sat on was Dr. Reardon on vitamin C, and the second one was on Dr. Brzezinski on cancer therapies, and I was just amazed by all the research. And I go to lunch, and I'm sitting there in lunch, and I look over, and there's Dr. Lamas sitting there. I'm like, what are you doing here? Because, as you know, most cardiologists don't go to ACAM.
Well, it's a little like meeting your boss at a strip joint or something after hours. You thought, like,
exactly. So I was like, what do you do here?
He's a respectable cardiologist.
So it turns out a patient had asked him if he thought that chelation therapy would be good for him. And he had said what all cardiologists always say, no, it's no good. It's not proven. And then he really thought about it. And he went and started researching it and found that there were only three very small, underpowered studies that had randomized studies that had looked at chelation, and that he felt that a large randomized trial could be done. So he asked me if I knew anything about how to do chelation. Actually, in those days, I didn't. So I actually hired my wife's uncle, who had 30 years' experience. He came over and he started working with us and showing us how to do it. And through that, we were able to set up well, it's called PACT, P-A-C-T, which was a pilot study to assess chelation therapy, where we did 40 patients, just seeing if we could do randomized bags and check blood tests and sort of the logistics of a trial. You know, before they hand you a check for $30 million, they want to make sure you can do it. And so that's what we set up with PACT. And then Dr. Lamas, you know, his thing, he's not pro or against chelation. He loves to do trials. He's really a trialist. And to find a situation where you have all these people saying, oh, it's no good to chelation, and then you have all these other people saying, wow, chelation's amazing, that was really, you know, what was interesting to him. And then the enthusiasm, you know, when we first met with the AACM, you know, the people from AACM, and how excited they were with the results they had seen, you know, it's pretty impressive. So we were able to set up the study. It was 10 years, $31 million, 132 centers. And there was, you know, it was double blind. So we didn't know the results all the way until the end. So I went to the meeting in Los Angeles, 2012, November, and, you know, I didn't know what the results were.
Yeah, we were holding our breath. I remember there was a lot of...
presented a 10-minute presentation showing, you know, tremendous benefit for chelation, 18% up to 26% with the vitamins. And all the newspaper articles the next day were all negative spins. Answer no to chelation, chelation proven ineffective. And I was, you know, I couldn't believe it. It's like all this work to prove it worked, and then all the media saying it doesn't. So when I came back to Santa Fe, I was pretty upset. And there was I presented at this one meeting that Monday to sort of alternative practitioners of New Mexico. And when I said sort of that story, a film producer was in the audience, and then she actually, you know, was outraged by what had happened. So she actually made a film called Unleaded about sort of the whole story.
So, you know, ultimately, what happened was, you know, they often say to us in the field of complementary medicine, they say, well, look, you know, if all these therapies that you're cooking up are so good, why don't you do some studies? Why don't you actually prove it? You know, where is it in the medical literature? You have no studies to back you up. And so then, in effect, we did a study at great cost, a great effort over a long period of time, a rigorous scientific study. It was published in Journal of the American Medical Association, the most respectable medical journal, mainstream journal in the world. And the results were positive, and yet they apply a double standard to that, and they say, well, you know, that can't be, we're still not going to acknowledge that chelation therapy is valid. Is that more or less summing up the state
yeah,
of affairs?
That's exactly right. So for years, you know, people would say, oh, prove it to me. And then we finally do the best, highest quality study you can do, double blind, randomized, you know, extremely difficult study to do. And it proves chelation works, and then they still ignore it. So
right. So let's back up a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what is chelation therapy? Why does it purport to help people with heart problems and other problems? What's the story?
Yeah, so one of the things, you know, about TACT was we never looked at how it worked. We just wanted to see if it worked or not, and if it was safe or not, which is what we proved. It does work, and it is extremely safe. So that was part of the sort of the problem we got into when we got the results, because most people are like, well, how could that possibly work?
Right.
And so what chelation actually is, so chelation comes from the Greek word claw. So it's the idea that you're clawing out toxic elements from the body. The main molecule that we used was called EDTA, which is ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, with a mouthful.
Yes.
And that molecule is able to pull toxic metals, especially lead, out of the body. Now, what most people didn't realize, or even, you know, when we started TACT, I mean, like I said, I was a conventional cardiologist. I didn't even realize how it really worked. And it turns out that most people do have levels of lead in their body. And when you remove the lead, the body works much better. I always like to joke, there's no amount of poison that helps you.
Right.
So as the EDTA pulls the lead out, your body has less poison and it actually runs a lot better.
So actually there was a movie by that title, and we interviewed the producer of that movie, the movie Unleaded that came out, I guess it was last summer, on the subject of the tact study. So the fact of the matter is that I've been doing chelation therapy for pretty near 25 years. You being a little younger, perhaps for a shorter duration. What kind of results are you seeing in your patients? I mean, on a 1-to-1 level, you know, the studies, okay, great. The study shows that it's beneficial. But what happens when patients undergo chelation therapy? Any anecdotal evidence that it works 1-on-1?
Yeah, so definitely. So again, when I first started, I had no problem putting people in a randomized trial, you know, back then, 12 years ago. But, you know, over the time, I'd have people in the study, and then I'd have people, because there was a 50% chance you'd get placebo, which is basically just saline water, not the chelation, they didn't want to risk that, so they'd get the normal chelation. And over the years, as I did more and more patients and then learned to measure, you know, before and after lead levels and toxic metal levels, you know, I've seen just amazing, you know, things that just amazing improvements that I never saw in all the years I practiced traditional cardiology. And that was really what led to me sort of shifting over to holistic medicine, that it's just much more effective. So somebody that has high cholesterol, we get their cholesterol totally normal without statins. Somebody who has, you know, painful circulation, walking, you know, they can only walk 10 feet, could suddenly walk as, you know, run miles. Wow. People who had blocked arteries, who'd have chest pain all the time, suddenly didn't need any more medications because they didn't have any more chest pain. Atrial fibrillation going away. And all these things improving that I never saw in traditional cardiology.
Well, you were involved in the design of the chelation study, and I was as well. And what we were concerned about is that, you know, often we see studies looking at one aspect of multivitamins, for example, or a vitamin E study. And the study will come up short, or it'll say that, in fact, that the vitamin E is harmful. And we know from our clinical experience that there are many benefits to these supplements. And yet sometimes when you hold something under a microscope and just look at, put on your blinders and just look at a few parameters or a few specific factors, you might demonstrate that it doesn't work or that it might even be harmful. And that, weren't you in the design phase fearful that after all this money was expended, this therapy, which you apparently believed in, was gonna be debunked?
Yeah, it was. You know, we had. You know, it was interesting. So, no, I didn't know you were. Were you there that like the first meetings when we were like, because we met with Acom? I don't remember who was there.
But yeah,
I know Ted Rosimas was there.
Sure. No, I was in that original group. Yeah, there. I was in.
So yeah. So if you remember, we were in that room, and so yeah, the first thing was getting everyone to agree on what we were going to actually put in the mix. And then the whole multivitamins was a whole sort of controversial thing as to what we would put in that. And, you know, both sides were skeptical of the other. So the traditional doctors didn't trust us really to, you know, carry out a trial because we were going to try and prove that chelation worked. And then the alternative people didn't trust us because we were coming from the conventional world, and they're like, well, we're just going to prove that chelation doesn't work to sink it.
Right. It was a little bit like the Middle East peace process, you know. It was
like, right. We were like, and the truth is Dr. Lamas, you know, he loves trials. So he actually was not vested one way or the other. He just wanted to see, he wanted to set it up as completely balanced as he could to see what the truth was.
Well, it's interesting. He chose the acronym TACT.
Yeah.
Because it stands for the Trial to Assess Chelation Therapy, but it's a great acronym because it really did require diplomacy and tact to pull it off. Because on the one hand, many alternative practitioners felt like, oh, don't cooperate with the conventional establishment because they're always out to bury alternative practices. And, you know, we have some experience in that realm. Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez wrote a book that's it's as thick as a doorstop, you know, 500 pages about how, in effect, he got taken down a primrose path. They said they were going to legitimately study his innovative cancer therapy, and at the end he felt betrayed, and ultimately he felt the results were skewed towards proving that it was worthless. So,
right.
You know, so on the one hand, we had the alternative doctors suspicious. On the other hand, as you say, The conventional doctors were saying, look, we're not even sure we wanted to study this because the whole thing is so preposterous. Why waste a lot of money even looking at this crazy form of quackery?
Right. It was funny. So we had to have – no, and then what therapy to put the patients on? So everyone that had a heart attack, everyone was over 50 years old. So the traditional doctors wouldn't agree unless all the patients were on quote-unquote standard therapy, which is a beta blocker, aspirin, right. ACE inhibitor, and a statin. And then the holistic doctors are like, what? I don't want to put my patients on
right.
that.
Right.
So that was the whole –
That's an important
that
point.
Kind of too. And,
that's important point
because
actually
we found the middle ground where everyone could agree, and we were able to go forward with the study. But definitely, at the planning stage, it was very, very hard. Especially doing the pilot study, just to find patients wanting to do it and sort of finding a middle ground that would work for everyone. And because both sides were convinced, the traditional doctors were like, "Oh, it'll never work," and all the ACOM people were like, "Oh, it'll definitely work." So it was.
Well, that's an important point you made earlier, which is that sometimes studies which look at alternative therapies don't turn out positive because the people are already taking so many medications that it's impossible for the alternative therapies to show an advantage. So, for example, if somebody's already on a statin drug and a beta blocker and nitrates and, all kinds of blood thinners, aspirin-like medications, they're already so highly treated that potentially the addition of one holistic modality, which might have a benefit but a weak benefit, might be overwhelmed by the medications. But in this case, it didn't happen. It actually worked out that there was an added benefit to patients who got the standard treatment plus chelation.
Right. No, I totally agree. The real study, people forget, the real study we wanted to do was chelation therapy versus statin, beta blocker, aspirin, statin. That would have really been the cool study to do, but there's no way the traditional world would go for that.
Right.
Because
how
do you take the patients off their quote-unquote proven therapies? And that's a whole interesting thing, too. It's like, what's the proof that aspirin works or a beta blocker works or a statin works? The Jupiter trial, which put the statins sort of over the top, was the difference was 1%. It was 1.5 to 0.5 was the reduction in events.
Mm-hmm.
And here we're showing 26% reduction, and no one wants to do this, but everyone, they're putting everyone on statins now.
Yeah. So let's hone in on the results of the study. Keep in mind, these are all patients who'd had a heart attack already, so they were at risk. And so break it out for us. What were the statistical results?
Yeah, so they were all already on standard therapy. So basically they were getting everything they could from a traditional point of view. And then the addition of chelation or not. So the overall improvement was 18%. The overall improvement with vitamins was 26%. And then the really amazing group that was helped, the diabetics, had a 39% reduction in events. Now, to put that sort of in perspective, if you have a heart attack today and you go to the emergency room, the drug they will inject you with, the clot-busting TPA, was approved on a 1% reduction.
Wow.
Aspirin's about 11%. Beta blockers are about 15%. And we're showing 26%. Overall improvement and 39% in diabetics. Metformin was approved on a 1%, a 0.1 reduction in hemoglobin A1C.
Wow.
So these are huge, huge results. If this was a pill that you took, Dr. Lamas joked to me the night of the presentation that if this had been a pill sponsored by a pharmaceutical company, we would have been flown on a private jet sipping champagne.
Right, because of obviously because of the economic potential of, like a blockbuster drug that could make billions. So where do you think this is going to go? Chelation therapy now validated by a major study, Journal of the American Medical Association. I think at the very least, one of the unfortunate things that has happened over the years is that some doctors practicing chelation therapy have been attacked by their medical boards and have even lost their medical licenses, and some states have attempted to ban chelation therapy. It's been a real struggle. I began my practice during the real dark ages, where routinely, you know, we'd go to medical conference and we hear, did you hear about Dr. Jones? Did you hear about Dr. Smith? He just got his license taken away because he was using chelation therapy. I guess that can't happen anymore.
Right. So when we started designing TACT back in 1999, 2000, people were still losing, especially in New York, California. California tried to ban chelation. Texas was still.
I think Connecticut too. You know.
Yeah. So it was definitely. So again, the first thing, you know, no one will question now the safety of chelation or question just the doing of chelation. So it's really, you know, moved it out of that stage where the doctors could be persecuted because. And, you know, just personally, that really saved me because I was able to do chelation at Mount Sinai because, you know, Dr. Lamas, being chief of cardiology and chief of medicine, anyone who would say anything to me, I'd be like, hey, you know, I'm part of Dr. Lamas's trial, and everyone would just kind of back off.
Right.
I think, you know, the next, you know, so Tony and me, you know, we're talking now about, you know, so what do we do next? So from his point of view, you know, he loves to do studies. So this has opened the door for a lot more studies. The first reaction traditional medicine said is, we want more studies. And Dr. Lamas loves to do more studies. But here's the dilemma. The dilemma is, if we showed a 50% reduction in diabetic complications, how are we going to do a placebo-controlled study knowing that half the placebo could have been saved?
Yeah, it's almost unethical to withhold chelation.
Exactly.
I mean, to let patients go
right
without
now,
it.
Trying to figure a way around that.
Yeah. One aspect, this is a little bit on the downside of the TACT study, is the TACT study developed some data on vitamins and supplements. And I was a little disappointed to see one of the arms of the TACT study where they looked at vitamins or no vitamins used in a very, very negative and prejudicial article in the Archives of Internal Medicine, which basically said enough is enough, case closed on multivitamins and supplements because they're worthless. Are you familiar with that aspect of the research, and do you think it was somehow hijacked to suit an agenda?
Yeah, it was just, you know, I'd always heard, you know, my uncle had always told me about how the pharmacological companies were out to, you know, not help people. And I'd always heard of all these conspiracy theories. But, you know, I was there the first day TACT was born, all the way through. And it's like when you see how the media spins everything, just completely distorting the truth of something where I know every part of it, it's still shocking. You know, even if you've always heard about it, when you actually experience it yourself, it's like, wow, it's really bad. So the vitamin study was actually positive.
That was my impression.
11% overall benefit.
Yes.
Reduction of events, composite endpoint. So less death, less stroke, less heart attack, less hospitalizations, less surgeries in the people who took high-dose vitamins. It was not a placebo study. It was high-dose vitamins versus low-dose vitamins. So that's like a second error that's always published. That it was negative is wrong. It was an 11% benefit. Now, you know, when we designed this, you know, basically how do you do the study? So you give people this vitamin, and you give the other people this other vitamin, and then you compare. 47% of the people, though, in the study stopped taking their vitamins. And as you know from clinical practice, it's hard to get people to take what they're supposed to take.
Right.
Now, that's not our fault. It's just
right.
Part of the reality of how things work.
Right.
So, you know, there was all kinds of attacks on how we did the study and how we designed it. And, I mean, people forget, from 12 years ago, that was the best we could do. We met with everybody we could talk to, trying to figure out what's the best way to do it. It's an extremely difficult study to do.
Right.
As you know, if you had patients, you know, that were enrolled, it was a lot of work to fill out all those things on the computer, and that was the first time a study had used computer capture of data.
Yeah,
I mean, people forget, you know.
not to mention,
the internet is today.
Not to mention $31 million. And actually, in the midst of the study, critics of the study managed to get it put on hold temporarily because, you know, with all this hue and cry about budgetary constraints in Washington, they said, oh, this is just a waste of taxpayer money. I mean, like, can you imagine, you know, they're actually studying this bizarre therapy.
It was actually at some group, a doctor from Tufts, and then the guy who run the Quack Busters thing.
That's where it came from.
Quack Watch guy.
Yep.
They wrote an incredible article, 88 pages long, just trying to attack TACT and trying to get it stopped. So it was never actually, they never told us to hold it. We actually voluntarily held it for only 1 week while we fixed the consent. And their main gripe on the consent was the font size was 12 and they wanted 14.
Wow.
So I was like,
amazing.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the truth. And then if you read what people, oh, the tax study was stopped by the government and da-da-da, there was like all this stuff written. None of that was true. We held it for a week while we fixed the consent.
Yeah.
And again, the distortion of the facts. Right. And like you said, that guy in the article on Annals said, you know, the last nail in the coffin for vitamin therapy. But the article, you know, TAC proved an 11% benefit. It just didn't reach statistical significance because 47% of the people dropped out because they didn't want to take their vitamins.
So you know, another way of saying it is that an absence of statistical significance, even in a positive study, does not mean that a therapy is worthless. It just means that in that particular study, it did not reach, and this is a complicated mathematical formula, it didn't reach a robust enough percentage to indicate that it may not have been just due to chance. And this is the way that statistics works, but the trend was towards positive, and you can't adduce from a positive result that vitamins and supplements are worthless, throw them out, case closed, we're done with it.
The result was an 11% benefit. I mean, that was the result.
So
now, how statistically significant that was is the question.
So you
the result was 11% benefit.
Right. So the story, you provide the details of the story in the book Healing Heart Disease with Chelation. But I'm sure in your clinical practice, you use chelation therapy with your patients, but you give them a very comprehensive program of lifestyle modification, specific supplements, diet, and so on. And so what do they undergo and what's the process like at the Santa Fe Soul Health and Healing Center?
Yeah, thanks. So, out here, we're about 10 minutes north of Santa Fe. So we're at 7,000 feet. We're basically up in the mountains.
Wow.
It's 5 acres and we have a guest house where up to 8 patients can stay with us, a residential program we call
Fabulous.
It.
Fabulous.
And we, you know, one of the things of TACT is, and end of statistics, is the absolute benefit. So we quote relative risk reductions, which is when you see all those ads and any pharmaceutical company touts their drugs, they always talk about relative risk reduction. But the truth is that TACT's absolute risk reduction was only 4%. It was statistically significant, but 4%, you know, I want 100%.
Right. Exactly.
And so when patients come here to our center, we'll do a very comprehensive history and physical. So they have a kitchen where we actually teach them how to cook. We'll actually go shopping with them one day so they learn what to buy. Again, we try and get all organic. We have our own chickens here. We have 24 chickens, so they eat organic eggs.
Right.
We teach them juicing. We study a lot of the Gerson sort of type therapies. So we really believe in the juicing part of it. And then we have a 12-step program where the people, every day you'll get an IV, alternating between chelation and sort of a Myers vitamin C type, high-dose vitamin C. They do a thing called EWOT, which is an exercise with oxygen therapy, which is actually able to stimulate your stem cells 800%.
Hmm.
We do HeartMath, which is sort of a biofeedback program. We do EECP, which is a FDA-approved treatment for angina or heart failure, which nobody uses, but
right.
It's very
tell us a little bit about that, because it's of interest. A few doctors across the country are using it, and it's actually a therapy that's utilized quite a lot in China, I understand. But here, because of the cardiology lobby, no offense to you as a cardiologist, they'd rather do angioplasties.
Yeah, so again, cardiologists get paid to put stents and not paid to do other therapies. So the China and Russia, they have a government sponsored system. So they're looking for the most effective therapies. And basically, EECP is a system, it looks like blood pressure cuffs on your legs, and when they squeeze sequentially, they're able to actually grow collaterals, you know, for angina or improve brain blood flow. And there's actually a lot of data to the point that, you know, the machine, they did double-blind randomized trials, and they were able to get FDA approved, and it is Medicare approved for angina and heart failure.
You know, and I've actually seen it done. I don't do it at my center in New York, but I've seen it done at other centers. And when you walk into a room where several patients are getting this therapy lying down on the table, it looks a little bit like a room full of Mexican jumping beans.
You know, because they get a little, as it squeezes, it sort of bounces you a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not, it's painless.
That's a bouncy machine.
Right. It's painless. It's benign, and apparently it's effective at restoring circulation. So, but how many integrative cardiologists are there in the country, would you estimate?
As far as I know, about four.
So do you get flack from your cardiology colleagues? Because there's, you know, there's a lot of cardiologists down there in New Mexico. And do they kind of look at you askance when you pass them in the supermarket? Or do you have good relations with your fellow doctors?
There's very few cardiologists. You know, when I was at Mount Sinai in Miami, there were 88 cardiologists in my professional building.
Right.
And in New Mexico, there's about 30.
Oh, my
goodness.
Okay.
There's less in the whole state than there was in my hospital.
Wow.
So, you know, because we did, you know, the TAC trial, and because I did, you know, I did the original research for South Beach Diet, you know, people, you know, and the other thing about cardiology is, you know, there is, if you are having a heart attack this second, you know, don't meditate for me.
Yes, right, right.
Get me to the hospital.
Exactly.
And so the guys here, so there's two cardiologists here in Santa Fe that, you know, whenever I have an acute, you know, emergency, you know, they always help me out. And a lot of times, you know, they don't want to deal with a patient who's on 25 vitamins because they don't know anything about it. So they'll send me those, and I'll send them the people who have acute problems.
Yeah, maybe it's a relief for them. It's like when their patients are in their office asking them a million questions about diet and vitamins and supplements and exercise, they'll just kind of sigh and say, go see Dr. Heilbronn. That's his bailiwick.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what happened. So we get along.
Good. Okay. Well, so clearly, you know, there's a comprehensive approach to cardiovascular disease prevention and treatment that we're not fully utilizing in this country, and it incorporates chelation therapy. Chelation therapy is done with what frequency, and how many chelations do you really feel are beneficial for, say, a patient who's had a heart attack or a patient who really is in trouble?
All right, so from 12 years ago when we set up TAC, we set up a protocol of 40 treatments. So they'd get, in the trial, we did once a week for 30 weeks, and then every other week for the remaining 10.
Which is a big commitment. That's a big commitment.
Yeah, and then later on we were to three times a week for the 40 therapies. But what I do now in my practice is I'll measure people's – I'll do a provoked urine test, which measures what levels of lead they have. And then every 12 chelations, I'll repeat the urine test to see sort of where their levels are. Once their lead level is less than 2, then I stop with the IV chelation and usually just leave them on an oral once a week type product.
Right. But conceivably, for a patient who has cardiovascular disease, they might go, say, to a center like yours, get an intensive series of chelations, and then they may go back to their hometown or their home country and then get some additional booster chelations over a period of time. I've seen patients who, you know, we've given 90, 100, or 150 chelations to over a long period.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the way I see it is the key is to try and get, you know, their toxin levels all less than 2, get their hormones balanced, you know, teach them to eat the right stuff. You know, basically organic fruits and vegetables is what our body runs best on. You know, definitely exercise. You have to exercise. There's a wonderful video of the Dalai Lama in a movie called Sunrise to Sunset where they followed him for a day. And whether you believe it or not, supposedly this is his 14th life on Earth, and he gets up every morning at 4 in the morning and he jogs 30 minutes on his treadmill. So his joke, if the Dalai Lama in 14 lifetimes hasn't figured a way around it, you probably have to do it.
Right. There's no such thing as exercise in a bottle that you can take.
Exactly.
Right.
But, and, you know, and then the fifth part, I always talk about the head. So,
yeah.
You know, we're all in our own little soap opera, and how we react to that stress, you know, has a lot to do with our health. I always joke that no patient ever walked into my office and said, "Doc, I just fell madly in love and I had a heart attack." It never happened.
Okay.
So I think love is sort of the missing ingredient in most people's lives.
However, some people have been in adulterous relationships, and that's a prime risk for cardiovascular accidents. Yeah, that tends to create a little more stress. All right, so can you name us your top five or six supplements for cardiovascular disease prevention or treatment? What are your favorites?
Yeah, magnesium. You know, it's hard to get enough magnesium. So Norm Shealy was actually staged over here one night, and he developed a topical magnesium gel where he actually did a $50,000 research study to see which form of magnesium could get our intracellular levels the highest.
Great.
And this gel he has turned out to be the most effective.
Is that available through Norm Shealy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I use that myself. My second favorite is vitamin C. It's actually Gary Gordon who founded ACOM, you know, sort of the father of chelation, they say. Mm-hmm. He has an oral vitamin C that's 4,000 milligrams per teaspoon, and it's pH balanced. It's a salt. So I'll pour 5 teaspoons in a little bit of juice, and then all day I'll be sipping that to try and get 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C in a day.
And that doesn't bother your stomach when it's made that way?
Right, because it's a salt. It's actually a vitamin C salt. It doesn't give you the upset stomach or the loose stool, which is always the problem.
Okay.
Yeah. So I definitely like those two. Let's see, third. Niacin. Mm-hmm. You know, niacin got approved as a prescription drug, which is kind of funny. So I always a big fan of niacin. You know, there was all kinds of research done in orthomolecular psychiatry. Helps your brain work better. There's all kinds of benefits to niacin.
Any others that, I mean, some of the phytonutrients are intriguing, the anti-inflammatory supplements that are around, things like resveratrol and so on?
Yeah, so, you know, there's always the thing about the wine, you know, does wine, how wine seems to lower cardiovascular mortality, and, you know, how does that work? And so resveratrol, the, you know, what they found was sort of the active ingredient that led to the anti-inflammatory effect.
Do you still believe, I'm sorry.
I like definitely fish oil. Fish, you know, people, we throw out fish oil, it's like have some fish, you know, that also is very helpful.
Are you still into the B vitamin connection? Because I know if you read your cardiology journal, they're saying, you know, that's passe, B vitamins don't help the heart. What's your take?
You know, I think, you know, you want to have all the vitamins. Vitamins help your body, you know, the micronutrients and the macronutrients. So the micronutrients, you have to have enough of each sort of subpart of all the nutrition you need. You can actually measure intracellular vitamin levels to see if you know, some people don't think they need anything. You can actually measure, or if you are taking something, you can measure and see if what you're taking is actually effective. So, no, definitely B vitamins, a multivitamin, you know, maintaining healthy cortisol levels. So, you know, I always look at the hormones. You know, you want to keep your five hormones, your five main hormones in balance. I would say the mom and dad, thyroid and cortisol, and then the kids, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So if you can keep those five hormones in balance, you can keep your toxins less than 2, your body runs pretty good.
Testosterone has been getting some bad press these days. I personally, I'll tell you where I'm coming from. I'm a big fan of replacing testosterone in men with low testosterone because it really helps them energize, lose weight, and overcome insulin resistance. But now studies are suggesting that testosterone may be bad for the heart, may increase the risk of cardiovascular disease. What's your take?
I think, you know, so someone like you really knows how to use it. I think when you indiscriminately give testosterone just, you know, basically off of one blood test, you can get into trouble. Hormones are very, very potent. And if you don't monitor any therapy, you know, you can get in trouble. It's like a diabetic. Oh, you're diabetic? Here, I'll just give you some insulin. That's not going to work. And the same thing with testosterone. If someone's testosterone is low, you know, that's a serious issue. You need to get their testosterone levels sort of back to optimal, not even normal, optimal. And so there's sort of two ways to look at it, too. One is to actually, if the person's just not doing well, you want to replace it because you want, the first thing you want them is to feel well. The second step, though, which you have to do is pursue is, why is it low? You know, investigate what's the cause of it being low. And testosterone and estrogen and progesterone are the reservoir for our cortisol. So most people are stressed out in the world. Their cortisol levels drop. You start pulling it from the testosterone or from the progesterone in women. So the key is to, number one, teach them how to not stress. So we love to use heart math program for that. And then rebuild their cortisol. When your cortisol is 22 in the morning, you jump out of bed and go jogging 5 miles. And when it's 6, you pull your the covers over your head and hit snooze again.
Exactly.
So cortisol is really the root cause of, you know, when you see people with low testosterone or low progesterone, it's really a cortisol issue.
So in sum, what's the call to action here? You've got a great website at santafesoul.com and a great center near
Santa Fe. Yeah, that's the YouTube. I mean, if people can just put in my name, Roy Heilbronn. There's a talk we gave a few months ago, and it sort of explains our whole program with videos and all kinds of things to sort of
and
see what we're doing.
And you see patients from all over the world, all over the country. It says here that you, between you and your wife, you have English, Dutch, Spanish, and a good command of German and French, and something called Papiamento. I'm not even sure what that is.
My wife grew up in Curacao, which is next to Aruba, so they speak Papiamento. And then the Dutch, you know, they learn just off the bat, they learn 6 languages in school. I mean, 4 is minimum.
Yeah, they are amazing.
So I know English and Spanish. I'm from Costa Rica originally, and she's the one that knows all the other ones.
Well, great. And then the new book, Healing Heart Disease with Chelation, that's available through all the usual sources?
Yeah, so Amazon, you can get it there.
Great. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And, congratulations are in order because you were a key participant in the TAC study. But I think to some extent, condolences are in order because, you know, it's like a Pyrrhic victory. We won the battle, but so far we haven't yet won the war. But at least you're out there practicing great medicine.
Thank you because, you know, with your help and ACOM's help was really, I mean, we didn't know. I mean, I tell you, you know, people look at us like the expert. We did not know anything when we started this. I mean, nothing. It was really, you know, your help and ACAM's help that helped us learn how to sort of do all this.
Yeah, for your listening audience, ACAM is the American College for Advancement in Medicine. Check them out at ACAM.org, and they also have a directory of practitioners in virtually every state and locality across the country and around the world, ACAM.org. And both of us, of course, are listed as chelating doctors who can offer this type of therapy. Thanks very much, Dr. Roy Heilbronn, and thank you for your commitment and your openness to what works. I mean,
yeah, thanks, John. It's been a pleasure.
Plain speaking, you know, I think the mark of a good physician is not to pick sides, but to apply intelligent medicine to the problems at hand, and you certainly are a practitioner of that.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. You've just listened to a free podcast brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. F-R-E-E is my favorite four-letter word, but these podcasts do involve time and money to produce, and so in the spirit of defraying some of our very real production costs and to keep these podcasts flowing, I'd like to ask you to consider a couple of things. First, if you like what you're hearing, please share these podcasts with your friends and relatives. Our object is to continue the spectacular growth of the Intelligent Medicine Podcast with the goal of attaining 250,000 podcast downloads per month in 2014. I know that with the help of dedicated listeners like you, it'll happen. Second, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store and consider buying your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements that I talk about here on Intelligent Medicine and that I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. And finally, consider becoming a patient at the Hoffman Center. I can personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles that you hear about on these podcasts, or alternatively, make an appointment with Layla Mutin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on intelligent medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Anyway, thanks for listening and continue enjoying our Intelligent Medicine podcasts.